If you think you could never be conned, we invite you to join us for Pros and Cons, an entertainment in which three well-known personalities try to spot confidence tricksters at work. And here to explain how you too can play the game is your chairman, Shaw Taylor.
Well, good evening. Thank you very much indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Our resident repertory company are going to display their verve and versatility by acting out situations, each of which will contain a confidence trick that is about to be operated. Now, there'll be definite clues and a red herring here and there to try and fool the panel. And when I think they've given away enough information, I will stop the actors with this bell. And that is when I challenge our panel to spot the con. And the panel that faces that daunting task tonight are Stephanie Turner, Derek Nimmo, and Kenny Everett. Derek Nimmo, you're always playing sort of fairly naive characters on radio and on television, rather than what I call the silly-ass type. Does anybody take advantage of that and try and con you because they think you're a bit dim?
Well, I suppose they have them, because actually, really, I'm more of a con man myself, I think.
Ah, you get away with it, con. Do you?
Because years and years ago, I was working for Mr. Charles Forte, serving hamburgers at Rainbow Corner with Mr. Anton Rogers, who was also making hamburgers with me at the time, I remember. But there was a chap there who was a dishwasher, and he used to run a stall in Petticoat Lane. And he thought I looked like a doctor at the time, albeit a naive doctor, and he put me in a white coat with a stethoscope. And I used to go down every Sunday to Petticoat Lane and sell Dr. Littlewood's liver cleansing liquid and these little bottles at a shilling a time. And he used to say in the bottom, 100% aqua pura, which is indeed what it was, just pure water. And we had a barrel at the back of the store. We used to fill it up with water. And of course, it's totally true. Water is the finest liver cleansing liquid in the world. Cheers.
Right. So we've got a con man on the panel, have we? Mm. That's going to make my job rather tough, isn't it? Stephanie Turner, the public image you have as a senior police officer must frighten people off. I mean, if somebody tries to con you, would they be frightened by your television image, do you think?
I don't know, but they'd be on to a good thing if they tried to con me. I am, I think, utterly gullible.
Really?
I don't even know if I've been conned, because I've never found out. I would believe everything. I heard recently of a con whereby a chap who was a security officer stood in front of a night deposit safe outside a bank with a bag saying, sorry, the safe is out of order, just put your money in here. And lots of people did, and of course he was just dressed up. But I would have been one of those, I know.
What a simple one, isn't it? Well, how terrifying. I bet people did follow it as well. Kenny Everett, that sharp...
Yes, what?
That sharp razor-like brain of yours would never be conned, I'm quite sure.
Which show is this? Actually, I was conned this morning when I first came in here.
Really?
I went up to the bar. There's a little bar down that corridor there, and they sell butties and things. And I looked at this packet of butties, and it said cheese and liver and onion, tomato salad and everything else your heart could desire sandwich, 10p. So I forked out me 10p, and sure enough, there's this great bulging butty with everything. It was like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon in a plastic bag. I bought it and bit it, and after about the first quarter of an inch, I mean, I've brought the proof here, look at it. After the first quarter of an inch, you've bitten away. It's like the Gobi
BBC
Desert
sandwich.
In there. I mean, look at that. It's like the wastes of Australia.
Where is the tomato salad?
It was just hanging off the edge. It was about an eighth of an inch of deliciousness.
Ah, well, so there you are. We're now about to be sued by the BBC canteen as well, so it should be an interesting programme. Well, now, we've met our panel. Let's meet the repertory company, and they will take us into our first situation. It takes place in a menswear shop after the assistant has just talked a customer into buying a suit for £89. Listen.
That really is a beautiful suit, sir. Fits you perfectly.
Yes, it does look rather smart. You don't think the sleeves are a touch too long?
No, sir, no, they're just right. One should show a half inch of shirt cuff, sir.
Yes, I'll take it.
Thank you, sir. If you'd like to take it off, I'll have it wrapped for you.
Can I pay by credit card?
Of course, sir, of course. Miss Lazenby, take this gentleman's card and make out his bill, will you? It's £89.
Yes, Mr. Fennell.
You do know how to work the credit card machine, don't you, Miss Lazenby?
Well, I've not done it before, Mr. Fennell, but, well, it looks simple enough.
It is, Miss Lazenby. I'm afraid she's new here, sir. She hasn't quite grasped the ropes yet.
I see.
Still has an awful lot to learn, I'm afraid.
Mr. Fennell?
Yes?
his credit card machine's got stuck. It won't slide across.
You see what I mean, sir. Excuse me a moment. Show me what you've done, Miss Lazenby.
All I did was put the slip in with the card, and it won't slide across properly.
It never does with the card on top, Miss Lazenby.
Oh, sorry. Of course, it should be underneath.
Yes.
I'll do it again. There. How's that?
Still wrong. You have the slip in upside down, now.
Oh, so I have.
Come on, let me do it. You can wrap up the gentleman's suit.
Yes, Mr. Fennell.
So, here we are, sir. I'll just write in the amount. £89. And if you'd be good enough to sign it there, please, sir, I'll make you out a receipt. Here's a pen.
Thank you. There you are.
Thank you, sir. Miss Lazenby will have your parcel ready in a moment, sir. Your till receipt, sir. Copy of the slip. And your credit card back.
Thank you.
And here's your suit, sir.
Miss Lazenby, before the gentleman leaves, hadn't you better tear up that slip that you filled out incorrectly?
The one I did upside down?
Yes, we can't have it lying around the shop now, can we?
No, Mr. Fennell, I'll do it right away.
I do apologise for the delay, sir.
No.
And the other one? Thank you, Miss Lazenby. And thank you, sir. Bye.
Well, that all looked fairly straightforward, didn't it? Man goes in, buys a suit, pays by credit card, so they muck up the first couple of slips, but they give him a right one eventually. He signs it, off he goes. Can you see any suggestion of a con starting there? What do you think, Derek?
The manner I would have thought would have been conning was the man with the credit card. Perhaps it was a bogus credit card. They didn't seem to check that very much. But they did tear up both the slips, as far as I could see. The only thing that was slightly odd, they rang it up on the cash register. Whether you ring up a credit card transaction on a cash register, I don't know.
Yes, well, that's possible. And you say they didn't check on that credit card, did they? And
no.
I normally, if I go in with the credit card, anything over, I think, about £50, I usually phone the credit card
company. £89. They didn't check on that with the credit card company.
No, they didn't.
The man had got his suit. He got nothing to lose. He hadn't signed the other two credit slips.
That's right.
So it didn't seem as though they could use them for anything else, even if they'd somehow palmed one of the top copy or whatever it was. I would have thought it might well have been the chap who came in with the suit. I think I would
He was the con
him.
Man, perhaps, with a stolen credit card. What do you think, Stephanie?
I didn't understand credit cards.
Well, they're a total disaster. I got one for my wife about a year and a half ago. She lost it last Easter, but I haven't reported it yet because whoever's found it is spending less than she does.
Yes, I like the convoluted thinking there. Well, credit cards, quite simply, instead of paying cash, you fill in a form, they roll it off on the roller thing that the girl was mucking up, and you sign it, and you get a bill from the credit card company at the end of the month. So it's a form
so
of
if
credit.
He hadn't signed the credit card, I suppose they could have forged his signature on the false one, but then I did hear them tear it up. I tend to wonder, like Derek, if in fact it might not be the chap with the credit card who might be at fault. Also, of course, I suppose the suit might fall apart.
That could be the big con, couldn't it? No, the suit was all right. It was
the
worth the
£89.
Okay,
you are supposed to wear them with an inch of cuff showing, are you? Right.
Well,
I think it was the man with the card.
You said you heard them tearing up the other two slips.
Ah, you think perhaps
Maybe
they
didn't see it.
Didn't.
Not so easy
perhaps
on
they
radio.
Didn't tear it up properly. Perhaps he didn't see them tear it up properly.
Well, it's possible. What do you think, Kenny Abbott?
I think the suit's a Russian spy. I don't think there's anything wrong with this sketch, apart from the acting.
I quite like the underplaying of the gentleman who bought the suit. Because
I don't like the guy who's selling the suit.
A bit
I
smarmy.
Think he's a bit smarmy, yeah. I think he's in collusion with Miss Dumbo. Yeah? Because, I mean, perhaps they're all in
now
it
you've
together.
Now, each of you, oddly enough, you've each got a part of the con right. Kenny, you were right. They are in cahoots. Our good
all
friend, Mr. Fennell and I. No, not the gentleman who bought the suit. And you were partly right, my love, when you said that you suppose they could forge the signature on the other two credit cards. And the question is, did they destroy
the right thing?
The original credit cards? And were they, in fact, made out wrongly?
They could be tearing up a bit of old anything in the background there.
But did they actually... Well, we don't know whether they stamped it three times, do we? We don't know whether it went through, because, I mean, she said it didn't go through the first time.
Right.
But we didn't hear any noises.
The customer didn't see that. In fact, what had happened was that the first one she did perfectly all right and then said she'd mucked it up. And Fennell came across and said, oh, you've mucked that one up, put it on one side. And then another one, which she also mucked up. So at the time Fennell had done the card properly as well, they'd got three copies of his credit card imprinted. Yeah. They tore one up in front of him. And then Fennell said, oh, tear up the other one. And all you heard was just the of it being torn up. So the customer went away thinking that both the previous credit card forms had been torn up. In fact, they hadn't. One had been left open. They could easily forge his signature because they got his signature on the other one. And they just filled it in with several other items, which they then took out of the shop and went and sold somewhere else.
Disgraceful.
Because it never comes back on Fennell. This is the clever thing, because the girl is only there for the Christmas period. Fennell can simply say, oh, well, we employed a wrong one.
Yeah.
And that's all there was to it. But there you are. I tell you what, I'll give you a point for that panel, because although you got it in pieces between you, the three of you, you did get the essence of the whole con. But the lesson in it is, if somebody says, I'm sorry, I've mucked up the credit card, say, right, give me the slip that you've mucked up, and you tear it up. Yeah. Don't wait for them to tear it
Does
up. You take the mucked up slip away with you.
Yeah.
Are you now that much wiser, Kenny? All right, let me take you on to the second situation. This one is at a car auction, when a lady is looking at one of the cars that's for sale. She's sitting in the car, actually, when a man comes up to her.
You're not really considering buying this heap of scrap metal, are you?
Oh, why not?
Because I've already looked at it, love. You're going to need a new rear drum, a new front drum, a new clutch, and a complete set of shoes all round, and that's before you've even started. How many miles is it supposed to have done?
46,000.
Second time around, maybe. Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's done twice as many as that. The clock's been tampered with.
But that's illegal.
If you're caught doing it, yeah. Listen, have you any idea how much work there is to be done on this car?
No. Would it be expensive?
Well, it'd be cheaper than buying a brand new car, love, but not much. Labour's at a premium, isn't it? And there's enough work there to keep one mechanic occupied for a week. It'd pay him a fortune. Then you've got parts on top of that.
Oh, but it's a British car. The parts are cheap.
Oh, sure. British parts are cheap, but Japanese parts aren't. Do you know how to tell the difference?
Well, no.
So, what's to stop the garage from selling you British parts and charging you Japanese prices?
Do they do that?
Oh, yes. And rake in the extra profits. By the way, did you know your ball joints were worn?
Is that serious?
I'll say. It means the tyres aren't even. It means your front and back ends are out of alignment. It means that if you hit a patch of icy road, you'll spin like a ballerina.
Oh, I see.
How much are they asking for this death trap?
Well, the reserve price is £100, but I was prepared to go to £300.
You're mad.
Well, it was a present for my 17-year-old daughter. She's just passed her test.
Which is more than this car will do, that's for sure. You'd never get it legitimately MOT'd. If you paid £300 for this, you'd be lucky to get 50 back in it for scrap.
Oh, but I've already phoned my daughter and told her I'm buying it.
Do yourself a favour, lady. Unless you know about cars, never buy one on your own. And certainly never buy one at an auction where you've got no chance of getting your money back.
Well, even if I could prove that the clock had been turned back and that the brakes were faulty?
Makes no difference. That's why the car's out here on show before the auction. You buy it as it is, and it's your responsibility to examine it properly first.
Well, I'm grateful to you for the warning.
Listen, love, forget auctions. They're just for car dealers who know what they're getting. You'd best stick to places where you get a guarantee.
I think you're right. Thanks for the advice.
A pleasure. I hate to see innocent people getting caught out. Some of the sharks around here will skin you for everything you've got.
Oh, I see you're admiring my car, lady. Yeah, it's a good motor, that. Marvellous little runner. I'll be sad to see it go.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's in lovely nick. Reserve price is £100. But if you want to give me 200 right now, lady, I'll withdraw it from the auction. What do you say, eh?
Definitely not.
You sure? It's MOT'd and taxed for 3 months. Real bargain at £200.
Oh, is it? Well, I've got to be going. Thanks for your help.
My pleasure. Bye.
What's her hurry? Something I said, eh? She's missing a really good buy here.
Yeah, I'm sure she is.
How about you then, eh? £200 and you can drive it away.
You must be joking. £100 and you've got yourself a sale.
150.
100 in cash right now.
125.
100. And I won't ask questions like how many owners it's had and who was bribed to get it past its MOT. Here, 5 crisp new 20s. Take it or leave it.
Right. At £100, you're getting a steal.
Yeah.
I'll go and get the registration document and the MOT certificate.
Keep them. I'm in a hurry. Just give me your name and address and I'll collect them later. All I want at the moment is the car.
You'd trust those two with your lives, wouldn't you? What do you think, Stephanie? Do you think there's the essence of a con coming up here? That guy seemed to want that car rather badly, didn't he?
Yes. I think everybody's conning everyone there.
Who do you suspect most of the three?
Oh, clearly the man that was giving the advice to the lady. I have to suspect him the most, because of his comeuppance at the end, as it were.
Yeah.
He seemed to be playing all sorts of games.
Do you think he was in collusion with the other guy who came up?
Oh, no. I think he must have decided he was going to buy the car terribly, terribly cheaply, so tried to get the lady off the scent.
He wanted to get rid of her. He wanted the car, and yet he didn't seem to want the documents. I wonder why. What do you think, Kenny?
There's definitely a con going on here, because £100 for a car. I mean, that you could just about get an ashtray for that nowadays. I didn't like the advice she was getting from the first guy, because he was too helpful. I mean, he didn't have to say any of that. If you don't have to do something these days, you don't do it.
I will say that all the things, if it helps you at all the things he said about the car
were true.
It wasn't a car you could trust.
Perhaps he wanted it for a bank robbery, do you think?
Well, no, that's possible.
You need a car that'll go, don't you, for a bank robbery?
Ah, but no, if you drive up in a rickety old car, they're less likely to suspect that you're going to rob the bank. You see? If you draw up in a Morris Minor to a bank...
What do you think, Derek?
Well, how do we know that the second guy owned the car?
He
didn't prove it. He didn't show any documents at all. He didn't ask for any documents, the other fellow.
He said he'd go and get the MOT.
Well, but he might have gone off at £100 and still not come back.
Well, that's possible. Yes, it could have,
gone that way. There was no proof of ownership at all, was there? He just strolled up and said, look, give me the £100, and off he went with the £100. So he could easily, I don't know whether it's the answer, but easily could not have owned the car at all.
He was wearing a very spivvy suit, though, wasn't he?
Well, I was a bit worried that he was the friends of that woman that works in that men's clothes. So we know she's a con, don't we?
You were getting rather warm when you said that he wanted the car specifically to carry out a certain sort of crime. Now, that's why he wanted the car. That's why he didn't particularly want the documents. Because he didn't want the car traced back to him when he used it for the crime. It wasn't as a getaway car for a bank raid, but what else could you use it for? What else might you use a car for? And he used it almost immediately.
A clapped-out car? You said what he said
was
true.
Yes.
It was falling apart.
Yes, it was falling apart at the seams. So this is why he got it so cheaply. Otherwise, the guy would never have sold it to him.
Was he the guy who buys the prizes for the roller on Generation Game? He just wanted a big clapped-out prize to fill the whole roller.
No, it wasn't quite the Generation. It was a form of crime, but not quite the Generation Game form of crime. Now, he's got a car.
Well, he could drive it into his own car, I suppose, and damage it, couldn't he?
And claim on insurance?
An insurance thing.
Yes, you could have been a con man, you know, Derek. That's a very good idea. We hadn't thought about
that. Well, I still think my first suggestion, although you say that's not the answer, but we don't know that the other chap owned the car, do we?
He did actually own the car. Let me tell you something else that might help you. This chap only drove the car for a short while and then he parked it.
Oh, he wasn't putting a bomb underneath it or anything, was he?
No. He wasn't trying to plant a bomb. He drove it, parked it, never saw it again. But he made himself quite a bit of money.
Well, he didn't hit anybody with it then?
No, he took it to the nearest multi-story car park.
Yes.
And he went in, got a ticket, parked the car, chose himself the nicest car he could find, and drove out with the ticket he got for the old car.
Oh, how clever.
Simply stole it. He used it to steal another car. It was all the check-up that went on afterwards.
Did you get that, audience?
His old car had been dumped.
Sounds like a great idea.
Well, is there anybody listening? I mean, I think it's a smashing idea.
Oh, I can tell you an even better one that we actually had on Police 5. A gentleman went to, I won't name the actual hotels he went to, but he went to some very large London hotels, and he waited for a rather beautiful car to pull up outside. In one case, it was a Rolls, and in another case, an Alfa Romeo. And when he saw the doorman park the car for the owner, he made a note of the number of the car, waited for the doorman to change, went inside the hotel, came out and said, could I have my Rolls, please, number so-and-so, so-and-so. The doorman said, yes, sir. Mm. Went and got in the Rolls, drove it round, gave him the keys, chap gave him a fiver, he said, thank you very much, and he drove off.
Brilliant.
Now, there's a good one to try, if you fancy.
That's jolly good, isn't it? I like that one better.
You like that one better, don't you?
What are we
all
doing
right,
here?
I'm going to claim that one, because I had to lead you by the hand on that one, panel. Let's go on to the final situation. It also has a car in it. Now, this takes place in Leeds when a local man walking down a country road is stopped by a French couple in a small Renault.
Pardonnez-moi, monsieur. Excuse me. We are lost.
We take the wrong turning.
Where is it you want to go, then?
I want to go to Stockport.
Stockport? There's no Stockport around here, mate. You sure you've got the name right?
Stockport. Look, it is here on the road map. Look.
Oh, Stockport.
Ah, oui, Stockport.
Yes, that's just outside Manchester, 40 miles from here. You want to get onto the M62?
M62?
Yes, that's right. Now, Luke, you want to take this road until you get to the roundabout.
Pardon?
The roundabout, and then you take the second... The third exit on the left, the B6157, I think it is. Yes, until you get onto the crossroads with the A647. Then you turn right onto the A6110 over the Umbach Bridge, and then you follow the signs down to the motorway, and that's the M62.
Excuse me, most slowly, please. My English is not so good. Parlez-vous français? You speak French?
No, mate, I'm afraid not. Look, I'll tell you again a bit slower, right? You go down to the third exit on the left, the B6157, till you get to the crossroads.
I'm sorry, my husband does not understand. Could you, mark the map for us?
Yes, of course.
If we get out of the car and spread it on the roof, mm-hmm. It will be more easy for you.
My pen. Here, please, on the map.
Right. Now, this is where you are. You understand?
Yes.
Down here to this point, then along here, the B6157... there's a hospital just before it on the right.
Hospital. Mm-hmm. Pardon. Ah, right at town. Would you please hold the map?
Yeah. Right. So you turn right after the hospital, go down here till you get to the crossroads, and there's a pub there, the Horse and Groom.
The Horse and Groom.
Where you join the A647, and then you turn right there.
Ah, we go right. And after that?
Over the Umbach Bridge.
Umbach?
Yes, it's a small bridge over the railway line, and that'll lead you to the M62.
M62?
And you'll find Stockport signposted.
Oh, merci.
Quelle heure est-il?
My husband asked if you have the time.
The time? Oh, yes, it's 2:45.
2:45? We are late. Oh, we should be there by 3 o'clock. Oh, merci, monsieur. On revit.
Merci. Bonjour.
Thank you.
Now, don't forget, it's the third exit on the left. I bet they get it wrong.
Everett was quite riveted by that.
Confused, that
followed
was.
followed every word, your eyes
I know eyes
exactly
what
open.
Happened. They were a pair of robbers, right? Have I got it right?
Your I don't know, yeah. No, I just said, oh, I was...
And I wanted up? Somebody else's fingerprints on the roadmap so that when they left the car outside the bank or something, the police would look at the roadmap, see the fingerprints, and arrest the guy on the side of the road. That's the story. Good night, everybody.
Well, now, that sounds possible. What do you think, Derry?
Well, I think that's a good... Either that, or they were pickpockets, and they made him hold the map with both hands so they can... dip into his back pocket. But I think Kenny's the more likely one.
It's the French you don't trust, isn't it? Stephanie, you...
Well, I thought it was pickpockets too. I can't see what else it could be. I didn't see how the Leeds chap could be doing a con. It's not a con, is it? Just to send someone on a wild goose chase. It's a kind of
not unless,
joke,
of course, he was standing there waiting for somebody to come along, you know, or some lost motorist, unless he'd chosen a particular point. But don't let me just mislead you, because you could be...
No, I think it's pickpockets. I think the French were not really French. We're not against the French here. I don't think they were really French at all. I think they were English and they were pickpockets.
I don't think it's pickpockets, because that's too easy.
Can we ask them if they were really French or not?
They were French, actually.
They really were.
They were French, but they spoke rather better English than they pretended to. They were working a little bit of a con there. I quite like the one, actually, about the fingerprints on the map.
Was he the victim?
Yes, our lovely lad from Leeds is the victim. I tell you what, I won't give you the answer to this. What I will invite you to do is to come along with me to a pub where he popped in for a drink a little bit later.
Hello, Sid, the usual.
Yes, please, Doris. Quiet in here this afternoon.
Aye, it is. Well, there you are. That'll be 42 pence.
Right. Hey, the baskets! I thought I felt something.
Hey, what's wrong? You've gone quite white.
My money. I had about 30 quid in my back pocket and it's gone.
Gone? What do you mean, gone?
That French couple, while I was using both hands to hold up the map and mark it for them, that fellow was picking my pockets.
I'm sorry it wasn't your answer, Kenny, because I rather liked your answer about the fingerprints. But no, it was a straightforward pickpocket job, and of course he put the map on the roof. Mm-hmm. So the guy's looking at the map, he's got his hands up here, the back of the jacket comes up, and the wallet is
well,
picked out.
Well, how are we supposed
pocket.
To know this? The actors didn't mime it.
Oh, she said, we want to put the map on the roof.
So that it was all set up for
we
you.
Got, we won that one.
Oh, yes.
We won. We
you won that one. But oddly enough, you were saying, you know, it sounded too simple for words. Mm. But our esteemed writer, Brad Ashton himself, that was actually a con that was pulled on Brad. And you know, he's only a little fella.
Good Lord.
That's why they used a Renault. If it had been a Rolls, they'd never have made it. Well, there you go. That's all we have time for tonight. But don't leave us just yet, because I want to tell you about one of the situations we'll be dealing with next week. It concerns a hypnotist who helped people with their dieting and to give up smoking. Now, he said he did it as a social service because he was wealthy and he didn't need to charge them. But he said they could donate as much as they wanted to charity instead. Do you think you smell a con there? Well, think about it. Join us next week and see if you're right. I will now say goodbye on behalf of our panel of Stephanie Turner, Derek Nimmo and Kenny Everett, our repertory company of Adrian Egan, George Parsons and Miranda Forbes, deviser and writer Brad Ashton, producer Jamie Ricks and me, Shaw Taylor. Bye-bye for now.